Fasten your seatbelt, turn up the radio. We're going on a road trip. Getting us underway today on Route 51 as we tackle an uncomfortable topic, human trafficking and its impact on North Central Wisconsin. I'm Glenn Moberg. Human trafficking is another phrase for modern-day slavery. It includes, but is not limited to, sex trafficking and the sexual exploitation of children. It's been reported in all 72 counties of our state, including those in North Central Wisconsin. And because of the internet, the problem is getting worse and not better. To discuss this topic, we have in our studio Andrea Oyuela, the Hispanic Advocate Program Coordinator for the Women's Community, a domestic abuse and sexual assault shelter in Wausau, where she has encountered the victims of human trafficking, and also Sarah Bettish, a patrol officer with the Wausau Police Department, who has the frustrating job of trying to combat this problem as a law enforcement professional. And joining us by phone from Oshkosh, Deb Allison Osby, the Business Development Director for the Damascus Road Project, a Fox Valley-based organization dedicated to fighting human trafficking and sexual exploitation. Deb is also a businesswoman and a member of the Oshkosh City Council. Now, as always, we'd like to hear from you. Give us a call at 1-800-780-9742 if you have a story to share with us, or put a comment on the Route 51 Facebook page, and I'll read it live on the air. And that phone number, again, is 1-800-780-9742. So thanks to all three of you for being with us today. And Deb, we're going to start with you. The mission statement on your website: Damascus Road was founded in 2009 and is dedicated to fighting the evil of human trafficking and sexual exploitation. You are close friends with the founder of the organization, Lisa Senholz, who lives in Antigo, where they can hear this program right now. Why did the two of you believe that Damascus Road was necessary?
Well, thank you for asking, and thank you for allowing me to participate today, Glenn. Well, Lisa had originally, back some time ago, actually had adopted a girl from the Philippines. And that was kind of her first experience. And at the time, she tells in her story that she thought it was isolated to just overseas. And it was kind of her goal then to, you know, do some outreach internationally. But as she developed and as other relationships and contact with other organizations came about, she learned that this was also happening within the U.S. and then really, for sure, in the last couple of years of how it was really impacting Wisconsin.
How did the organization get its name?
Well, it is a faith-based organization, and so it is something that did come to Lisa through just prayer and faith.
And what got you involved in it personally? Why does this subject mean so much to you that you dedicate a big portion of your life to it? You're a busy lady.
That indeed is correct. It's one of those things where if I don't help, who is? And as a mom of two daughters, I have to tell you, because this affects every single income level, race, background, that all I can tell you is that if somehow my daughters were to be impacted by trafficking, I would hope that if I didn't know where they were, that some other mom was out there looking for them and working with them, whether they were a child or an adult.
How bad is this problem, human trafficking, in Wisconsin, in the Fox Valley where you're based, and also in North Central Wisconsin where people are listening to this show?
You know, it is impacting us more than I would like to admit. And the thing of it is, Glenn, is we have the statistics in which, you know, a lot of it comes from our law enforcement, you know, for what they see and what they come across through the different, you know, stings or you know, arrests that they come upon. But what we're finding through our outreach, because we are doing outreach in a community local jail, is that we are having women come to us that actually are in on different charges, but that is an element or was an element of their life.
And how much of this activity involves children? How much of it involves adults?
You know, unfortunately, I don't know that there's enough statistics to really paint a great picture. And I don't have an answer for you, but that's a great question. Us specifically, we work with those that are 18 and over. And I also think it depends on what area of the state you're talking about. Obviously, the larger the population and the fact that Milwaukee is, I think, fourth in the nation as far as leading trafficking. Obviously, they see more of it than we do. But we do partner with another organization that we started talking to this year that is out of Milwaukee, and they specifically are there to do the restoration and deal with the trauma for the children.
And finally, before we move on to our other guest, Deb, if a victim wants to get in touch with the Damascus Road Project, what can they do?
If they have internet access, certainly they can reach out to us private message. We do have a Facebook page, as well as if they go to our website, there is an email that will connect them to us, as well as a phone number is on the website.
Okay. The definition of human trafficking on the Damascus Road website is this one. Human trafficking is the recruitment, harboring, transporting, obtaining, or maintaining of a person by means of force, fraud, or coercion, and it includes but is not limited to sex trafficking and the sexual exploitation of children. Does that sound accurate to you, Sarah Bettish?
Absolutely.
And how much of it do you deal with as a law enforcement officer?
Mostly on my end, we've been encountering a lot of female prostitutes just through undercover stings and just from my investigations on Backpage alone. But what they do...
Explain that to people. They don't know what Backpage is.
Backpage. Oh, the Backpage. It's very similar to Craigslist. If you were to Google Backpage.com right now, it looks exactly like Craigslist. It is a website where you can buy, sell, and trade. And unfortunately, you can buy, sell, and trade sex, whether it's females, males, and or children. What happens is the
and this is run by the Village Voice, right, which is a famous newspaper in New York City?
I'm unsure of where it's been.
I think that's where it got started.
Sure. I know right now the CEOs of Backpage are under some indictments regarding sex trafficking because of their escort portion of the webpage. That's since been taken down, and now our females and males, whether they're the pimp or the victim or just the prostitute themselves, they are posting mainly under the women seeking men portion under the personals. And that's where we're finding a lot of these advertisements. And when I say advertisements, it's exactly what it is. It looks exactly like an advertisement. There's usually some photos on there, whether they are sexually explicit or not, but mostly it's females. We see mainly white females and African-American females. Once in a while, Asian females do show up. But
And are people from North Central Wisconsin posting on this site?
Absolutely. I've tracked a couple down to, obviously, Marathon County, Wausau, Adams, Rhinelander, some from Eagle River, Crandon, but they will post and you can select the city that you want your advertisement to be posted under. Usually if I'm looking under the Wausau section, they're posting under Wausau, but then they'll also post in the bigger cities, Green Bay, Milwaukee, Appleton, Oshkosh. And that's kind of a red flag there. When they're posting in multiple cities, that usually means that they're traveling, which goes into the trafficking portion of things.
And how do you catch the perpetrators and how do you catch the victims?
Usually what we do is we set up an undercover sting. We do those every couple months or so depending on staffing. And that basically means we rent out some hotel rooms because that's the most common place for you to meet a prostitute or for these types of situations to go down. I am tasked with playing the undercover prostitute usually, which is proved to be actually a pretty good time. And then what we do is we post ads on Backpage just like they would be doing. And we also then have a male officer playing undercover John, and we seek out females that are posting on Backpage. And once we establish contact with that female, we try to interview them and see if they'll admit that they've been trafficked or have a pimp that's forcing them to do this.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them will talk to us. Usually they don't want to talk just yet. They're not ready to talk. But when they do mention it, an investigation we did last September, some of the females were telling us that the coercion and the threats were coming from if they didn't go out and catch a date, which is basically meet a John for money, they would be kicked out of the house that they were staying at, which can mean a lot to some of these females because they have no other place to go. So that's where the threats come in and that the coercion.
Are they reluctant to talk to you? Prostitution is illegal in Wisconsin.
Correct. And most of them they're reluctant because they feel they're going to get criminally charged or receive a citation. We do have an ordinance against prostitution in the city, so they can receive a citation. Or they don't want to talk yet. They're hesitant because they feel if they do talk, their pimp or whoever's trafficking them is going to physically hurt them, or physically hurt their family, physically hurt their children, or they're holding other threats against them, such as, you know, I won't feed your children today, or I won't provide whatever drug you're addicted to today. I won't let you stay at my house today. So there's a lot of underlying issues there resulting in why the females aren't ready to talk to us.
Andrea Oyuela, this is something you deal with on a personal level at the women's community. You've made it the focus of a series of presentations that you're making right now in the greater Wausau area. Why have you made the eradication of human trafficking a big priority in your life?
Thank you, Glenn. Since 2014, I've been involved in the human trafficking work. I started seeing underlying problems with victims or clients that were reaching out to me, that it was more than just sexual assault and domestic violence. And I do believe it's very important to create awareness in the community, just because this is such a hidden crime. Is very difficult to identify. So it is still the work is just not maturing yet. Mm-hmm. It's just not moving forward yet, just because it's so confusing. People, there's a lot of myths and misconceptions out there that are not allowing the communities or the population or even victims to identify if they're being victimized.
And if you do have victims who come to you with problems, which happens all the time at the women's community, what kind of resources can you provide for them in case any of them are listening to us right now?
We have a shelter, so they would have a safe place to stay. We collaborate with different agencies, counseling services if they're ready, and we can provide them with housing support as well. However, it is important to recognize the lack of resources in the community, because I'll give you an example of an adult victim. She has been in the prostitution world since she was 12. So she was probably recruited and trafficked since she was a child. So this is the only thing she knows. She probably has charges for prostitution, and this is a big obstacle for them to get a job, to be able to have a different life. So the stigmatization of victims out there is very evident, and that prevents women to come forward.
You've got a 24-hour hotline, 715-842-7323.
Correct.
That's 715-842-7323 for the women's community in Wausau. And we're going to get that up on our Facebook page, and we will also repeat that throughout the show. And there is also a National Human Trafficking Resource Center hotline, which is on, Deb, it's on the Damascus Road website. And that's 1-888-373-7888. And that number again is 1-888-373-7888. Let's look at one sting operation, sir. You were just talking about that. In October of 2015, More than 500 law enforcement officials in 135 U.S. cities took part in a sting involving hotels, casinos, truck stops, and other areas. They ended up recovering 149 sexually exploited children. One was 12 years old. They arrested 153 pimps. And in that operation in Wisconsin, 9 juveniles were recovered and 11 pimps were arrested. More than 50 adults were also recovered. Wisconsin tied for third in the nation in the total number of juvenile trafficking victims recovered during that nationwide operation. And, Deb, that is not a statistic we should be proud of.
No, no, it's not. And both Sarah and Andrea had brought it up in regards to, you know, kind of the depth of the situation. There's a lot of factors that play into it. But the other thing as well is, you know, we also have a buying market. And unfortunately, you know, this has become a business. Trafficking has become a business of our children and our women, you know, because there is a buying market for it, and there's really not a lot that is addressing that issue. I think law enforcement does what they can, you know, in regards to that. But I can tell you, you know, before and in different communities, a lot of times when not always the children, but once you get to the adult women, you know, there's the stereotype that they're a prostitute, that this is something that they've made a conscious decision to do. And not to say that in prostitution there isn't a percentage of that, but there's a lot of things and a lot of factors, and some of those things stem from childhood that have evolved that nobody ever knew about, like being, you know, sexually abused as a child.
Well, your website, DamascusRoadProject.org, mentions that you work in Las Vegas. Prostitution is legal there, Deb. How do you assist victims in that context where sex for money is legal and it's even part of the tourist economy in Las Vegas?
Well, that was actually a part. There's a wonderful woman that's a part of our organization, Tara, and I would say it was probably in that 2007-2008, they were doing outreach in Las Vegas, where they were reaching out to women to let them know that there is an alternative. We currently, as of this year and last year, have not done any outreach in Las Vegas, primarily because there has been so much going on here in the Fox Valley and throughout Wisconsin.
And Andrea, you're from Columbia, correct?
Correct.
And Columbia, prostitution is also legal there, isn't it?
Correct.
What's your experience dealing with women? Are all prostitutes the victims of human trafficking, or just some of them?
No, and that's a huge misconception out there, because when there's sex trafficking, prostitution is always involved, but not every prostitute is being trafficked. So there's two different things, and the difficult thing is to identify this and then to allow these women who probably don't even know they're being victimized to come forward and to recognize the crime. That's why it's so difficult to have accurate statistics or to really have women come forward.
And Sarah Bettish, same question to you, but from a law enforcement perspective. When this is legal in some states, and how do you separate the illegal activity, the human trafficking, from prostitution, which is legal in places like Nevada?
The biggest issue there is I come across a lot of females who are they're prostitutes, and they're prostituting themselves out for their own reasons, which primarily is a drug addiction. And, you know, if the prostitution port is legal, the illegal part of it is the force or the threats and the coercion. So, for example, there's this one female that I'm aware of, and she prostitutes herself out because that's all she knows, and she's a heroin addict. However, her boyfriend is the one that drives her to the dates. So even though she is consenting to the prostitution port, she's actively engaging it on her own terms. She's doing so because if she doesn't do it, then she can't provide money to support her boyfriend for groceries, food, or whatever. So there's that underlying, not I wouldn't say a threat, or but there's some coercion there, because she feels that she has to do that to support him, because if she doesn't support him, then he leaves.
Well, if you're a heroin addict, free will doesn't have much to do with anything.
No,
does it?
And that's a whole different monster that we can tackle some other time. But there's that, you know, so there's obviously it's illegal on both ends, but even though she's actively engaging in it, she feels she has to do it because he might leave her. And that's where that coercion comes in.
Today on Route 51, we're discussing the regional impact of human trafficking with Andrea Oyuela of the Women's Community, a domestic violence and sexual assault shelter in Wausau. Also on the phone, Deb Allison Ospie of the Damascus Road Project. That's a Fox Valley-based organization that fights human trafficking and sexual exploitation. And Sarah Bettish of the Wausau Police Department. I'm Glenn Moberg. If you'd like to join the conversation, give us a call at 1-800-780-9742. Again, that's 1-800-780-9742. Or you can put a comment on the Route 51 Facebook page. I'll read it live on the air. When we come back, we're going to talk about the sexual exploitation of children. We're going to take a break. Here's Billie Holiday with a Cole Porter tune.
Love for sale, appetizing young love for sale. Love that's fresh and still unspoiled, love that's only slightly soiled. Love for sale.
Support for Wisconsin Public Radio is provided by the Harold A. and Helen D. Engel Fund, helping to keep educational information available to communities throughout the state by providing support for Wisconsin Public Radio and Wisconsin Public Television. Support also comes from Christine Bremer-Moogley of the personal injury law firm Bremer & Trollope, committed to protecting the rights of accident victims throughout Wisconsin. Bremer & Trollope, because the right results matter most. Bremer-Law.com.
You look so nice. She's young. She's tender. Won't you please surrender?
You are listening to a song about pedophilia, in this case, having sex with a 13-year-old girl. The artist is Ted Nugent. The song is called Jailbait. As we discuss human trafficking and the sexual exploitation of children on Route 51 with Andrea Oyuela of the Women's Community, Deb Allison Ospie of the Damascus Road Project, and Sarah Bettish of the Wausau Police Department. I'm Glenn Moberg. Let's look at these lyrics in case you didn't make them out. Well, I don't care if you're just 13. You look too good to be true. Jailbait, you look fine, fine, fine. It's quite all right. I asked your mama. Wait a minute, officer. Don't put those handcuffs on me. Put them on her, and I'll share her with you. Sarah Bettish, not exactly the image you like for police officers in Wausau.
Absolutely not.
Do any of you think we have a culture problem in America when people can make a lot of money performing and recording songs like that? Andrea?
Absolutely. Rape culture is very is growing and very accepted in our communities. And actually, the women's community does a good job talking to youth about these issues, trying to educate them about healthy relationships and this culture that is just the diminishing for women and girls.
And Deb, there's been an outcry of opposition all across the country whenever Ted Nugent is booked to perform. But despite the outcry, this summer, Nugent is scheduled to perform at the Wisconsin Valley Fair in Wausau and at the county fair also in Fond du Lac. Is this an indication that we as a society don't take the sexual exploitation of children as seriously as we should?
Well, I think, you know, when it's everywhere, you see it on the internet, you see it on the cover of magazines, and you see how women and young girls are portrayed, and they're portrayed as an object versus a person, I think society almost becomes, I guess, you know, what is the word? Where, you know, they're just, it's as if there's no thought to, you know, maybe that's not appropriate or that's not correct, because it's what we've been seeing for such a long period of time.
Well, we're getting a lot of folks on the phone right now. Let's move to the first one. Let's go to Barb in Mosinee. Barb, you're on Route 51 with our guests.
Good morning. I'm traveling. I'm on my way north. I just want to say that I know that sporting events, which are local, statewide, international, are big draws for trafficking. And currently, friends of mine, and I am too, we're working on the U.S. Open, which will be in Erin Hills and is near Holy Hill. And our group is trying to alert businesses about the possibility of people being trafficked. And the second issue that I had was in Menominee Falls, we had a long-term hotel that wanted to locate on Highway 41, which is just outside of Menominee Falls. And our community was able to stop them from building. Long-term hotels do not require cleaning. People really have they don't have people checking on what's going on in their business. It's part-time help. So there are a lot of issues with long-term hotels and sporting events.
Well, Sarah Bettish, is that something that you have found as a law enforcement officer? And Barb, thanks so much for the phone call.
Absolutely.
You're very welcome.
There are some particular hotels and motels in the area that we are unfortunately very familiar with, because it's they're that type of stay. They're the long-term stay, very low rates. So it attracts traffickers and prostitution. Also, it's not fully staffed, or the staff members are making minimum wage, so they are potentially taking cuts from the traffickers and pimps under the table to keep things quiet. Also, holidays and sporting events are our big selling points as far as when we decide to set up stings. Because there's more people coming to the area. And we have found that around the holidays and these sporting events is when we're most successful in arresting both females and males.
And Deb, Allison Ospie, Damascus Road has participated in hotel outreach efforts locally, but also at four different Super Bowls. Tell us about that.
Yes, and that's something in which both Tara and Lisa were a part of. And it's really about also making other people aware. Because when you're at the Super Bowl, you know, obviously any big event like that is just a grounds for drawing people in that are looking for you know, people that are in trafficking. And so not only are they trying to do outreach, you hope that you come across somebody that's being trafficked and that you're able to help them. But a lot of it is about awareness to hotels, their staff, their management, to potential guests that are staying, so that they know what to look for and to look for those signs, so that if they see that there's the potential that something just isn't right, that they will call law enforcement in.
And have you found that the managers of reputable hotels work with you and help you out in that regard?
Well, yes and no. It seems to depend, and largely because, and this isn't just hotels, Glenn. This applies to a lot of different areas. Some people just don't want to recognize it, because if they recognize it, then it's acknowledging that there's a problem and an issue, and nobody necessarily, quote-unquote, wants that black eye associated with them. But I will tell you that certainly Damascus Road has encountered different hotels and staff and management, if they're privately owned, that have been willing to be engaging and helpful, and others just want to turn a blind eye.
And let me give these phone numbers out again. You can reach the National Human Trafficking Resource Center hotline at 1-888-373-7888. Again, that's 1-888-373-7888. And at the Women's Community in Wausau, their 24-hour support line is 715-842-7323. Again, that's 715-842-7323. How do the traffickers, when we're dealing with children, how do they get their hands on the kids? How much of it involves actual forcible kidnapping? Sarah, any idea?
There is a big misconception that our children that are being involved in trafficking are coming over here in shipping containers, or they're being forcibly kidnapped from their beds at night, and that's definitely not the case. What generally happens, the most common practice is there's this what we call grooming stage. So what occurs is, say, for example, we have a 13-year-old female who maybe comes from a decent home, but then maybe something negative happens where she has some low self-esteem, or maybe she's not good at sports. So she starts putting that out on Facebook and kind of putting her emotions out on Facebook, and she might be approached by an older boy on Facebook, which happens very frequently, and then a relationship starts. So now they're boyfriend and girlfriend, and this older boy could be 18, 19 years old, and suddenly there's this relationship, and he starts grooming her as far as, you know, buying her expensive items, getting her hair and nails done, and because what 13-year-old girl doesn't want to get her hair and nails done? Buying her expensive clothing, maybe taking her for rides in his expensive car. And then suddenly it changes where he starts to manipulate her into saying, well, we're running out of money, honey. Maybe you should start stripping. And that's when you start maybe seeing a 13-year-old, 15-year-old in a strip club stripping. And then he manipulates her a little bit further into, you know, I love you, so now you need to start doing some sex acts. So it starts off with that grooming stage where it starts off in a relationship, or the female feels it's some sort of relationship, and then the trafficker turns it around and starts to manipulate, and then it gets violent. You know, if you don't go do this, if you don't make your quota for the night, I'm going to kill you, or I'm going to kill your family. So it happens over a period of time. It doesn't just take a week or so. It can go on for months to years before that female is trafficked.
And we have a couple of people who called in but didn't want to go on the air. A parent called in who has a son who's been involved in online sex trafficking. She was horrified and shocked, and she wants to thank all three of our guests for the work that they do. And Claire called in with a question about how the new Wisconsin law that allows minors to get a work permit without a parent's permission will add to this problem. And Sarah, again, that's something I think that you'll have to take for us.
That's a new law to me, I guess. I guess as a parent, you know, if your child can get a work permit without permission, that's something maybe you can take to your to local legislature as far as maybe changing that. However, as a parent, I would monitor where your child is wanting to work. If they're wanting to work at the grocery store or a cafe or at the mall, fine. But if they're saying, I want to go work at this modeling agency, or I want to go work as a bartender or work as a waitress in a shady restaurant or shady bar, that's maybe something I would start looking into and find out exactly who their employer is, what their hours are going to be, maybe look into who the other employees are, maybe do some background as far as what type of establishment it is. And if it just doesn't seem right, I would say, you know, be the parent and don't let your child work there.
All right. And we lost contact for a little while with Deb. I think we've got you back on again. Deb, are you with us? Deb, are you with us? Apparently, we've lost contact with our third guest, Deb Allison Osby of Damascus Road, and we were going to make an effort to get back in touch with her. One of the things that you mentioned were strip clubs. How often do we see strip clubs as being involved with this kind of problem, Andrea?
I think that's a question for Officer Bettish. Now, we see the girls, but the establishments, I think Sarah could answer better that question.
Unfortunately, it is a stereotype, and it's a very true stereotype. A lot of the females that we encounter have either started off working at a strip club under their own their own reasons, you know, on very valid reasons. Mm-hmm. However, while at the strip club, what happens a lot is that, you know, maybe they're not making enough money. So some of the other girls will prompt them and introduce them to Backpage or introduce them to maybe doing sex acts on the side. And then they introduce them to Backpage so they can make more money. Mm-hmm. Or you turn the tables and females are on Backpage and then maybe not catching enough dates or making enough money. So then they move their business to the strip clubs so they can not only promote their business as prostitution, or the traffickers can promote their girls through the strip clubs. They can make that extra money stripping on at the same time.
And Deb, I think we've got you back with us again. Your website mentioned strip clubs as being a particular problem.
Yes, and we partner with an organization and have a relationship out of Green Bay, and that for quite a while was a focus because they noticed that a lot of the trafficking was happening at strip clubs. And in fact, just recently have a new case and talking to the woman who, you know, she had said, you know, obviously you do, you know, you're there, but then, you know, there is the, you know, additional money that comes from engaging in an act after she is done at the strip club. But it is something that we know here in the Fox Valley and Green Bay, Milwaukee, all over, that certainly has been an issue.
And what about pornography? We've been talking about online problems. Deb, is pornography kind of a gateway to some of this?
Our experience is yes. I would definitely say yes. Many times our women are telling us that they, you know, either if it's something in which they're going to a location and the quote-unquote John is there, that typically they are currently watching it or have admitted to watching it, you know, and then they want to act that out. I would say probably 90 to 100% of the girls, the women that we talk to, that is something that they have seen with the people who are looking for that service.
And what about the women who are actually in the pornographic films, or the men for that reason? How many of that actually involved in trafficking? How many of them are abused? How many of them are doing things that they frankly aren't doing of their own free will? Deb?
Oh, you're asking me. You know, that's a really great question, and I don't know that I have a good answer for you, because a lot of times when we do talk to the women, and the benefit that we have is, you know, because we are faith-based and we're a separate organization, you know, we're not law enforcement, you know, we're not a governmental agency, you know, they will include things that have been currently or in past going on. And that has come up a couple of times, and I spoke to one woman last year that was actually outside of Wisconsin, and that was a part of her past, but it was something that, because of her parents' drug habit, they essentially had her in pornography, pornography, both photographs and video, as a way to supply their own drug habit.
And something that you also mentioned on the website, as addiction to porn increases, users seek increasingly harder material. The availability of live porn has risen as trafficked children and women are forced to perform on-demand sex acts in front of web cameras as porn users watch. Sarah?
I have found a lot that when we do stings, a lot of the Johns I encounter, as Deb was saying, they're requesting these certain images or these certain acts. And we've also, through stings where I know a female was prompting a John, and the John said, well, I'll pay you more if you can bring a 14-year-old with you. And that was a concern, because we know that he probably has seen something like that along the road, or he has watched images like that along the road, and now they're looking to act that out in person. Another common thing that I'm hearing among our juvenile females that are involved in trafficking or on their way into the trafficking trade, there's websites where they can strip online for money. And it's become almost like a game to them where, you know, my friends are doing it, so now I'm doing it. And these are really hard to find. But it's like an online strip club where people can watch these children strip for money.
Andrea, can you weigh in on this? Strip clubs, pornography, is this all part of a culture of dehumanizing women?
Correct. Everything is tied together. And how to control pornography, how to control all the technology, that's something that is such a big monster. And again, I go back to the importance of educating community, educating youth, because they need to know the tips. They need to know what to do and what not to do in these websites. So the risk of being recruited or trafficked goes down.
And what kind of men engage in the sexual exploitation of children? Nobody will admit to this, but it happens. How widespread is it, Sarah?
When I first started in the undercover stings, I had a stereotype of the type of Johns I was going to be encountering. I'll be honest, I was expecting a drug user or somebody who maybe was homeless or living at home with mom and dad in the basement. However, we are finding that the majority of our Johns are upstanding citizens. They're well-known business owners. They're old enough to be my grandfather, my father. They are ER doctors, dentists, fathers, uncles. We had one individual that showed up that his daughter was actually involved in prostitution, and here he was buying a prostitute. So it could be anyone from any type of background, and that's unsettling to me.
Because when you're talking about people who are abusing children, what can you do with these people other than lock them up? Is there any chance of even rehabilitating them?
I don't personally believe so. I think that's there's some kind of maybe some mental dysfunction that's causing them to enjoy viewing child pornography or abusing children. So I don't know if that's something that we can fix by trying to rehabilitate them. Personally, I think those types of individuals should be locked up.
Today on Route 51, we're talking about the regional impact of human trafficking with Andrea Oyuela of the Women's Community, a domestic violence and sexual assault shelter in Wausau, Deb Allison Ospie of the Damascus Road Project, a Fox Valley-based organization that fights human trafficking and sexual exploitation, and Sarah Bettish of the Wausau Police Department. I'm Glenn Moberg. We've got a couple of phone calls stacked up right now. We'll get to them right after the break. Here's a song about human trafficking called Beautiful Slave by a faith-based band from Santa Cruz called Take No Glory.
Can anyone? Just a beautiful slave. My worst fear is my fate. I'm getting older each day.
Support for Wisconsin Public Radio is provided by the John W. and Lenore L. Landry Endowment Fund, supporting educational and informational programming like The Larry Mueller Show, in the spirit of the outreach mission of the University of Wisconsin. Support also comes from Christine Bremer-Moogley of the personal injury law firm Bremer & Trollope, committed to protecting the rights of accident victims throughout Wisconsin. Bremer & Trollope, because the right results matter most. Bremer-Law.com.
Made my money too long for gambling with me, but I'm still sitting on blades, spitting that bass, sitting on the corner of my block hustling, getting off double what I paid, getting it right through customs, in a cell by the night, it's extra white, look. I got so many that the man find out it'll land me in jail for life. But I'm still big pimpin', spin the cheese with Bun B, Pimp C, and Timothy. We got in the back of the truck, laughing it up, jigger man, that's what's up.
We be big pimpin'.
That's Jay-Z with his hit song Big Pimpin', as we discuss human trafficking and sexual exploitation on Route 51 with Andrea Oyuela of the Women's Community, Deb Allison Ospie of the Damascus Road Project, and Sarah Bettish of the Wausau Police Department. I'm Glenn Moberg. Andrea, can't get much more blatant than that, another indication of the culture problem we have in America.
Yes, and like I said before, rape culture is very embedded in our youth, and is actually targeting our youth, and communities or populations are just numb to it because it's just so common. It's in our TV, our radio, our internet.
And Jay-Z later said he regretted that song. Here's a quote. He said, "Some lyrics become really profound when you see them in writing. Not Big Pimpin', that's the exception. I was like, I can't believe I said that and kept saying it. What kind of animal would say that sort of thing?" That's the artist who said that sort of thing. Let's go to the phones. We have Diana in Wausau on Route 51. Diana, you're on with our guests.
Hi. I just wanted to let everyone know that there is a show going up at Viterbo University called Traffic 2017. It's a national juried show organized by Sherry Lizoda, who teaches in the art department. And all the entry fees will be going to raise awareness of sex trafficking, and it'll be donated to the La Crosse Task Force to Eradicate Modern Slavery. And it will be exhibited at a conference on the maltreatment of children, and then later it will be exhibited at the Viterbo University Art Gallery.
Now, Diana, are you an artist? Are you contributing a work for this exhibition?
Yes, I had two works chosen for the exhibit, so it was a juried one, and so I'll be showing two pieces there, yeah. I'm
right.
A painter, and I'm happy to be part of trying to eradicate this crime.
All right, thanks so much, and we're going to have to listen to you off the air. Deb, we have people trying to get involved with the eradication of human trafficking from all walks of life, including artists.
Yes, and I think that is great, and I would highly encourage individuals throughout the state to look to see if there is an organization that's within their community or within, you know, a small radius that they could get involved in. Because like Damascus Road, you know, it's us, and it's really five of us that is really trying to tackle it in this area. And I will tell you, as we have had, and we are just so blessed to have law enforcement that is in the Fox Valley that is willing to work with us and is willing to work with and identify girls and women that are being trafficked. And so I would say to those that want to participate and just don't know how, there's a lot of different levels. And, you know, certainly Lisa's been doing this a long time. And if they were to contact us, you know, through DamascusRoadProject.org or to call 920-659-0050, there's a number of, you know, groups and or even church groups that she could certainly connect them with in their area if it's available.
And, Andrea, we're running out of time, but I'm wondering if you could just talk about one success story, one story where somebody has been helped by the women's community who might have been involved in this kind of activity.
Sure. I have one. She is an adult who was involved in labor and sex trafficking. She was in those two types because human trafficking is not only sex trafficking. And she, after years of building trust with her, she 6 months after she came to us for help, she decided to file a police report, and things went from there, and she is now on her way to recovery, believing that she is much more than an object, and she is just a successful woman who is learning how to live free.
And Sarah Bettish, we're down to our last couple of seconds here. This is a struggle for law enforcement, but there is hope for some of the victims.
Absolutely. And I hope that our victims, or the ones that maybe aren't realizing they're victims yet, but maybe have that gut feeling that something's not right, that they know that they can always, they can come to us, that we can, we're going to do the best we can to help them.
Thank you all three for being with us. We do want to thank today's guests, Andrea Oyuela, the Hispanic Advocate Program Coordinator for the Women's Community of Wausau, Sarah Bettish, a patrol officer with the Wausau Police Department, and Deb Allison Osby of the Damascus Road Project. You can find out more about them at damascusroadproject.org. You can find out more about the women's community at womenscommunity.org. And that 24 hotline support number, 715-842-7323. The National Human Trafficking Resource Center hotline, 1-888-373-7888. Those numbers are on our website. Thanks to our executive producer, Rick Ryer, our on-air producer, Janice Schleiss. Special music today by Edvard Grieg, Billie Holiday, Ted Nugent, Take No Glory, Jay-Z, and the Rolling Stones. Thanks again for riding along with us today. Forward, as we say in Wisconsin. And until next week, we're heading out of town.